So this evening we begin. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. We confess to Him now in the silence of our hearts. Confess together our sins as a community of faith, as together we pray, most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, our Heavenly Father has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, God, our Father runs to us with his mercy. Therefore, upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce that grace of God for us all. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins as the Father welcomes you home for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, our opening hymn.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on account of your love, you both convict and forgive. Whether we have wandered far from you or stayed near yet distant in heart, lead us home. Give us repentant hearts that rejoice in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We go on now to the gospel song.
To Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins, grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be
may be seated for the reading tonight. Our sermon series for Lent on the parables of Jesus continues today with the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11 through 32. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this, your brother, was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Pastor Jan. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, well, to begin this evening, I always like to try to start off with something maybe a little funny. At least it makes me chuckle. And so, have you heard the one about the Sunday school teacher who was quizzing her second grade class on this parable, the parable of the prodigal son? And so she was teaching on the topic of repentance, which we'll be thinking about tonight. And she asked them, who do you think was really sorry in this story? And little Johnny boy, he's like, hoo, hoo, hoo. His hand shot up and he said, Oh, I know. When the son came home, I bet that fat calf was really sorry. Out of the mouths of babes, right? Yeah. But yeah, tonight we want to think about what does this repentance really mean? This turning it around and going home. And you know what? That question lies at the heart of our church season of Lent. I mean, think about it. Just going back to Ash Wednesday, we heard those words, remember you are dust, and to dust you will return. And those words, boy, we can't escape them, right? I mean, they strip away all pretense. And yeah, Lent calls us to repent and to come home. And so no story illustrates that journey more clearly, I think, than this parable, the parable of the prodigal son. And yet, this doctrine of repentance, oh my goodness, what is it? It makes us kind of uncomfortable, right? It makes us squirm. We're not sure what to make of it. But repentance is not something to avoid. In fact, it is foundational for who we are. The Reformation itself began with this subject of repentance. Martin Luther's very first thesis, you know, man, he wrote 95 of them, right? Well, guess what the very first one was all about? In 1517, he declared, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he called for the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. And then in 1530, our Augsburg Confession, it teaches us that repentance actually has two parts, contrition and faith. So first comes contrition. Now, that's not a word that we use a whole lot these days, but it's simple, right? I mean, it's deep sorrow over sin, which, of course, breaks and humbles our human hearts. But then, just as surely as we have this contrition, most importantly, we have faith. Yes, then comes faith, trusting that for Christ's sake, our sins are forgiven and the conscience is set free. And so, yes, contrition and faith, and faith and contrition and faith. And Luther said it's every single day. And so repentance is this road, the road that we travel on our way home, ultimately to our heavenly home. And we see it most clearly today in our parable of the prodigal son. And so it starts off with this, yeah, this younger son, and he's asking for his inheritance. And at the outset, it's shocking. And of course, we've all heard this parable so many times. And yet, so I think we kind of lose some of the cultural significance. But I mean, it is shocking on so many different levels, the way Jesus describes this. And maybe the biggest shock is that the father would actually give his child this freedom to reject him. Because essentially the son was saying, Father, I wish you were dead because I want my inheritance now. Mercy. And so with the, there had to be a mixture of emotions, right? I mean, that's just swirling around. I mean, anger, shock, outrage, but ultimately a broken heart, the father lets him go. And his child then takes the gift and runs. And boy, does he run. He runs to a distant land, far from his father, far from his home, far from who he was meant to be. And so, yes, step by step, he loses himself in his sin. And he ends up in that pigsty of his own making. But here's where it turns, right? Jesus goes on. And it's there in that pit that Jesus said that he, quote, he came to himself. Which I really think is to say that he's having an epiphany, right? He's remembering who he is. And to whom he belonged and where he came from. And in that moment, he remembered the love of his father, and he remembered his true home, where he did belong. So, yeah, and then he comes up with this kind of crazy plan. But hoping against hope, he took his first step back in faith. And, you know, I really believe as I hear the story, I can't help but see him weeping as he's going along. Yeah, tears of a broken heart, tears of contrition, tears of regret, tears of doubt. I mean, is he going to be accepted back? Tears of shame. But here's the thing. Those tears don't tell the whole story, do they? I mean, there's actually more tears to come on this road, because Jesus goes on to say that while the son is still still very, very far off. The father must have been watching, right? I mean, he never stopped watching. And when he sees his son in the distance, he pulls up his robes and he runs with all his might. The father's mercy moved his feet. And before his child could say a single word, man, you know, you just see the father. He's embracing him. He's kissing him. He's clothing him. He's welcoming him home with a love that is from above. And then, again, I can't help but see in my mind's eye that, man, there's more tears at this point. But now they've changed, right? No longer tears of sorrow, but tears of relief. Yeah, tears of even joy. I mean, tears beyond belief, right? I mean, flowing from forgiveness. Tears of faith and hope and love, the pillars, right, of our walk with the Lord. And so we have these tears of, again, contrition and faith. Faith and contrition on this road home. And ultimately, it's on account of the Father's mercy. And when you reflect, so this is where we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to reflect and actually go back, because you can actually see this promise throughout all of the scriptures. All the prophetic words, all the pictures and illustrations of the Old Testament, they are leading up to what Christ is coming to do. And so let me just highlight just one illustration, one example from the prophets, okay? And it's found in the, this is kind of crazy, I don't know if this ever, it's from the book of Zechariah, okay? The book of Zechariah, why are we talking about Zechariah? Well, just hear me out here. This is the second to last book of the Bible, in the Old Testament, I should say. And Zechariah saw a vision, which gives us a picture, which foreshadows the message of our parable today. Because he saw a man in this vision named Joshua, who was the high priest, who represented God's people, who were in the process, okay, take this to heart, they're in the process at that particular time of returning home from the Babylonian exile. Coming home from a far off, distant land. Now, keep in mind that the Old Testament people of God were in exile because of their rebellion and sin. But now they're being called to come home. And in this vision, Joshua is, he's standing before the Lord and the special angel of the Lord. But Joshua has nothing on but filthy garments, defiled like a man standing in a pigsty. And shockingly, Satan, in this vision, is standing right there too, right there next to Joshua, and he is accusing him. But the Lord God Almighty rebukes Satan, and he speaks on Joshua's behalf, and he says, remove the filthy garments from him. I have taken your iniquity away. And so then Joshua was clothed, right? He's clothed in the vision in perfectly pure robes and vestments. He's restored, he's renewed, he's reclothed in righteousness. And let's remember what the name Joshua literally means, right? It's the Lord that saves. And so that same scripture there in Zechariah chapter 3, it goes on and it contains a promise. A profound promise that's seen throughout the Old Testament prophets of the coming Messiah, who is described as my servant, the branch, who is the very one Isaiah had foretold would sprout out from the family of Jesse and King David. And that servant, that branch, is none other than Christ, who proclaims this parable for us. And I would say, more importantly, who proclaims from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And sealing his word of absolution forever on that cross, what does he say? "It is finished." And so that's unlocking the door so that we might all return home. And this promise, you know what? It reaches out to you and to me personally through his inspired word and through his blessed sacraments. And so, for example, in baptism, God washes you and God clothes you according to his promises with the righteousness of Christ and by faith. And he says, remember you were mine. Don't forget it. Now look at this picture. She remembers it, right? Yeah, I just remembered my baptism. Yeah. Or how about this big boy? Yeah. He's remembering it too, right? What a gift, right? Nobody can take that from you. We cling to that. Oh, God, thank you. My faith, hate to say it, but that baptism, no. That doesn't go up and down. That's rock solid. That's a gift from the Lord. And so then God also welcomes us at his table, right? He welcomes us with Holy Communion. We'll get to partake of that tonight. And so he welcomes you. And when you think about when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, what did he do for his disciples? Well, first of all, he washed their feet, and then he feeds you at his table. And so, yeah, man, as we are coming home, right, as we are approaching the altar of the Lord God Almighty, we do so, again, with contrition and faith. Faith and contrition, believing the words that are spoken for you are true, turning, man, maybe inner tears of regret into tears of peace and even joy. And so to conclude, I got one more illustration for you. Oh boy, because we got a glimpse, I think, of this road of repentance home recently in an unexpected place at the Grammy Awards, actually. Now, there was, as usual, all kinds of, as you would expect, all kinds of controversy, but in the midst of it, I think we got a glimpse of something sacred. You see, a guy by the name of Jelly Roll, no, we're not talking about the donut, okay, no, but a singer by the name of Jelly Roll, he won 3 Grammys that night, and he shared his heart on that stage, and so I think we can take a look.
I know they're going to try to kick me off here, so just let me try to get this out. First of all, Jesus, I hear you and I'm listening, Lord. I am listening, Lord. There was a time in my life, y'all, that I was broken. That's why I wrote this album. I didn't think I had a chance, y'all. There was days that I thought the darkest things. I was a horrible human. There was a moment in my life that all I had was a Bible this big and a radio the same size and a 6x8-foot cell. And I believed that those two things could change my life. I believed that music had the power to change my life and God had the power to change my life. And I want to tell y'all right now, Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is not owned by one political party. Jesus is not owned by no music label. Jesus is Jesus, and anybody can have a relationship with him. I love you, Lord.
What a picture, right? Man, again, a picture of what once was a broken and contrite heart, but now full of faith and songs now of joy. And that is our invitation for this church season of Lent, to take this step home and to bring and invite others along with us as well. And so, yeah, sometimes we're like the younger son, wandering far, man, far, far away in a distant land. But you know what? Sometimes we're like that older brother. And you know, that's a whole nother sermon. But hear this. He was close by, but he might as well have been a million miles away because of his pride. And in either case, the Father is calling us to turn it around, right? To repent. And repentance is remembering who we are and making our way home with, inner tears that are both sad but sweet. And it's hearing the words of Christ and believing that they're spoken for you. Because even now, the Father is watching and waiting, and the porch light is on, and the table is set, and it's time to come home. So may this be to you and to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we declare our common Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God and for all people according to their needs, and also just like to lift up for everyone that we want to add to our hospitalized list, Curtis Stout. Let us now pray. Gracious, merciful Father, Lord, we come before you as children who, boy, we've all wandered far from home at times. And when we have sinned against heaven and against you, God, we ask that you would bring us, give us that true understanding of repentance. And so when we are lost in either shame or pride, help us, oh God, to take that first step, to return home with contrition and faith, and remind us always, most importantly, that you are running to us with your love. Lord, in your mercy, and holy God, guard your church from the spirit of the older brother. Keep us from bitterness or self-righteousness or hard hearts. Make us glad when your children repent, and teach us to reflect the joy and the celebration that you have for all of those who return to you. Lord, in your mercy and compassionate Father, we pray for all who feel far from you. The grieving, the addicted, the ashamed, the lonely, and the confused. Call them home by your word and restore them by your free, generous, gracious, outpouring Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, and Lord of all nations, we pray for all affected by the war involving Iran. Bring protection to the innocent, comfort to the suffering, wisdom for our leaders, and safety to those in harm's way. Restrain evil and end violence and grant a just and a lasting peace. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord Jesus, as we come to your table tonight, give us that true contrition over our sin and that true faith in your promises. Let us not come proudly or carelessly, but hungry. Hungry for your mercy, trusting in your holy supper that you give us, your body and blood, forgiveness of sins. For you live and you reign with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. And we are reminded in the night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was betrayed, that he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it. He gave it to them and said, take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, remembering the marvelous mercy of our God, together let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, our sending hymn this evening, Go, My Children, with my blessing.
Go, my children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleep.
Time of worship is now ended and the service begins. We leave to live out God's call to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples, blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, he is with you always, even till the end of time.